Hello and welcome back to another episode of The Master Plan. I'm your host, Mike Flipkowski. Now, as I'm sure many of you have noticed, there is no intro audio. It is because I'm using Riverside and I haven't been able to figure out how to build up an episode with the intro audio because it's separate. I don't actually play it every time. It's just a recording that I have. So I'm trying to figure that out. So that's the reason why that hasn't been in the episodes for the past few days. Today's episode is about the Boston Bruins, who were defeated in four games to two last night by the Florida Panthers. For the second straight season, Boston has been defeated by the Panthers. But I think, you know, the feeling in this offseason for me is much different than the feeling I had at the end of last offseason. And that's for a couple reasons. The first is we made it out of the first round this year. We made it into the second round, which is a much better result. And I felt like this year wasn't necessarily the end of stuff. This was more like of a new beginning. And I was so impressed with the way the Bruins played this year because I figured after last season, after losing, you know, your top two line centers in Krejci and Bergeron, and really, you know, Bergeron was the captain, heart and soul of the team, I felt that there could be a little bit of regression and we were relying more on young and unproven talent. But if we look at the Bruins roster, so many of these guys played so well this season. And I think really, for me, exceeded my expectations. I think that Don Sweeney, who's the general manager, did a really nice job of getting either good value talent or those young guys that we have through the draft or rookies just through undrafted free agency, whatever it may be, did such a good job. And so I'm going to talk a little bit about each player, how I felt about their individual season this year, and you know what they could possibly contribute next year for the Boston Bruins. So I'm going to start off. Let's start off with David Pastrnak. I mean, listen, 110 points in the regular season, 47 goals, 63 assists, assistant captain. Obviously scored the Game 7 overtime winner against the Toronto Maple Leafs. I think David Pastrnak is an unbelievable player. He truly is unbelievable. And I think that the playoffs for him, while they weren't as good as I think I would have liked them to be, I think that teams were definitely trying to stop him throughout the playoffs at the same time. He was a big part of the other team's strategy. Who are we going to limit? And I think the biggest problem for the Bruins was Pastrnak with Bergeron and Marchand, especially on the power play, were able to play off of each other so nicely, right? And you really had to figure out who you were going to stop on that sort of power play because you had a great bumper in Bergeron. You had Marchand who could shoot the puck. You had Pastrnak who's absolutely deadly. And I'm not saying that Pastrnak's missing. Like, I just think that we didn't really have someone for him to play off of this year. We kind of missed that. And I think in the playoffs, that definitely hurt us. It was too much for him to do it all by himself, which I know you might be saying, well, Pastrnak's a superstar. He is. But he's not the same type of superstar that Nathan MacKinnon or Connor McDavid are, right? He does need players to play off of because his game style isn't speed and driving right to the net. He's a shooter. He's a shooter of the puck, a lot like Alex Ovechkin. So I think that David Pastrnak was probably looking for someone like that in the playoffs. And especially when Marchand went down, it became even tougher because they were isolating him even more. But I think David Pastrnak, one of the mainstays of this team, really, really excellent season. Brad Marchand, another great season. First season as the Bruins captain, and he looks like it. He is a great player. And by the way, both these guys are still under contract for next season. Marchand with a great season. A little bit underwhelming towards the end. You know, he did have a very long goalless stretch. I did think for a while he would hit 30 goals. He had 29 in the season, which is comparatively for him pretty high. In the past couple seasons, he had 21 last season, but this is back to kind of his, well, I guess his numbers before then. He had 32 in 2021. But he had a long stretch without a goal. Kind of expected him to hit that 70-point mark. He didn't. But I think that was just, again, a factor of the Bruins were playing a much more balanced style of attack this year. And I think Marchand's points went down because of it. But his impact to the team is obviously undeniable. He is a great player. Then we have Charlie Coyle, who had a career year. Listen, this was Charlie Coyle's best season of his entire career. Now, he is 32 years old, but this was his best season. He had 25 goals, his most ever. The last time he even hit 20 goals was in 2015 with the Wild. So that was a long, long time ago. This was his most points ever in a season with 60. He's never had 60 before. So altogether, a very good season for Charlie Coyle. Now, do I think he can fit that top line center role? That I don't know. He's a very good center. And I think if you put the right pieces next to him on the left and the right, he could be a top line center. He feels more to me like a second line center. Now, the issue with the Bruins is that you have Zacha and Coyle. And I don't know if either of those guys are truly top line centers, but they both can play on, they both have very different skill sets, and both I think are very good. Listen, this is a great season for Coyle. He had a decent time in the playoffs. He just needs to continue to use that big body. And if he can stay healthy, he'll be great. I mean, he's still under contract for a few more seasons. He looks great out there. He still looks very young. So not a lot of injury history with Charlie Coyle. So he looks very good and very happy for him to have a really, really strong season this year. And hopefully next year will be much of the same for him. But, next season, if he hits the 50-point mark, he will pass 500 career points in the NHL. He's closing in on 1,000 games. He'll probably hit it if he plays out his Bruins contract. He is 867 right now, so if he plays two more full seasons, he will hit that 1,000 games mark, which is pretty impressive for anybody. Okay, continuing right on, we have Pavel Zacha, who had another great season for the Bruins. Now, I'll admit, I would say I would like Zacha to grow a little bit more. I think he has so much potential to be a very good player. Now, in two straight seasons with the Bruins, he's had 21 goals, right? So he's not, before he was on the Bruins, when he was on the Devils, he never had 20 goal seasons and he never had 50 point seasons. And he's had both of those with the Bruins. So I think that there's so much potential with Pavel Zacha. He really can be a great player. And now that I think he's got that playoff goal drought off of his back, I think he can grow. Remember, he's only 27 years old. He's still a very young guy as far as NHL players are concerned. So there's a lot to grow into for him. And I think that as he grows, I think that hopefully this offseason he can take a big jump. But he's under contract. He's on a great contract right now. He's got 3 years left at $4.75 million, which, you know, for him, basically a guy getting you 60 points a season is very, very good money. So very much in love with Pavel Zacha and what he does. All right, let's talk next about Charlie McAvoy. It was a great season from Charlie McAvoy. I think this was his best offensive season in his career. So most goals ever in a season. His assist numbers were slightly down. Had slightly fewer points in the past few seasons, but only by about five or six. So really, we're talking about a very small number. Played 74 games, which, you know, again, not every game, but basically all the games of the season. And again, I love McAvoy. He had kind of a rough stretch in the playoffs. Did have a great game five. I do think he was carrying a bit of an injury, but he really is the best defender on this team. He plays so well, and I think his puck handling was just a little bit off. But I love Charlie McAvoy. I'm never gonna harp on him. He's still got plenty of time left in Boston. 6 years, $9.5 million. He's a stud. Love to have him around. Then we come to Jake DeBrusk. Jake DeBrusk is such a weird player. I personally do like Jake DeBrusk. I think he can be so good. If you look at his 2021 and 2022 campaigns, each 25 goals, 42 points, 50 points. This season, slightly down, 19 goals, 21 assists. Needed to play more games this season. He played 16 more games and had 10 fewer points. So definitely not as strong of a season. And I think that's partially because, you know, Without Bergeron, I think that he definitely struggled a little bit more than I would have liked him to. And I think he offensively is probably the biggest question mark we have left, or we have going into this offseason. Jake DeBrusk, if he's willing to come back for the right number, I would love to have him back. I don't know if I would pay him more than $4 million a season, though. Because he's not a first line guy. He really belongs on the second or third line where he could really make a difference. But he's just a little too inconsistent. He has the talent, and maybe Boston just isn't the right place for him. I do really like Jake DeBrusk, and I think he offers so much in terms of physicality. When he scores goals, like, he is a Bruin heart and heart. But at the same time, I need someone a little bit more consistent and a true goal scorer. And last season, Jake DeBrusk was that guy. And this season, he wasn't. So I'm okay if we let Jake DeBrusk walk this season, or this offseason, and I'll get to why in a little bit. All right. Then we come to Trent Frederick. I think that Trent Frederick is a potential, he's brewing, right? At the beginning, it seemed like Trent Frederick in 2018 and 2019 maybe just wasn't the guy. Even in 2020 and 2021, 4 goals, 1 assist through 42 games was not good. But over the past 2 seasons, we've seen Trent Frederick increase his goal totals and increase his assist totals each season. And he's become a really physical mainstay for this Bruins team. Now, he's under contract for one more season for the Bruins, which is great. So we will have to make a decision on him next season. And that's absolutely true. But for right now, I love Trent Frederick. I love him on the third line because he's so physical. And I think next season he will eclipse that 20-goal mark. He had 17 last season, 18 this season, 22 assists this season, 40 points. I think he'll be I want him to be a 20-25 guy next season. I think 45 points is realistic. He's on the upward trajectory. And if we can put a little bit more talent, maybe not even more talent, if the talent can grow around him on that third line, he can be really special. Love what Trent Frederick gave to this team, both points-wise and just locker room. I feel like he's a Bruins guy, and I hope we can get him back next season. All right, let's bring ourselves to Morgan Geekie. Morgan Geekie's been on 3 teams in 5 years. He's only 25 years old. He's a young guy. But Morgan Geekie this season had the best season of his career by a long shot. All right, first off, he had 17 goals this year, eight more than his previous high. All right. He had 9 last year with Seattle, and he had 17 this year with Boston. He also had the most assists he's ever had, 39 points. Geeky is a great player. He had a great overtime. He had a great goal against Florida, and he's a really talented player. And I think he's physical, great on the forecheck. Love having a young guy like him around. And again, I like Trent Frederick. I think he could be a 2025 guy next season. Like if you put Frederick and Geeky on the same line, and then you stick them with Mason or Matthew Potras, like that could be a deadly kind of three guys who could all give you a really, really solid play at that third line. So I really like Morgan Geeky, love what he brought for this team. Then we get James Van Riemsdyk, which, listen, James Van Riemsdyk, for a guy who had some really down years with Philadelphia, really not performing at what he was being paid for, I would say this was a pretty good season for JVR. 11 goals, 27 assists in 71 games, 38 points, +7 on the plus minus, hit his 1,000th career game. He was a nice physical presence for the Bruins. He did everything he was asked to do, and he was getting paid, like, I think $1 million a year to do it. Now, he is an unrestricted free agent, so we are going to have to decide whether we want him back. I do think there's a sense from him that he would want to come back, but he wouldn't probably get as much playing time, which I could understand is why he might want to leave. If we did get him back, it would be probably nothing more than $1 million, $1.5 million for next season, because he's just not going to play that much with all the young guys that we have. All right, let's talk next about Danton Heinen. Danton Heinen's 28 years old. He's already had one stint with the Bruins, which ended pretty well. But this season with the Bruins was his best season since 2017. And coincidentally, that was also with the Bruins. He had 17 goals, 19 assists, 36 points. Very, very good season from Danton Heinen. I mean, really, for a guy who's getting paid, I think it was $700,000 a year, ended up playing on the second line with David Pastrnak and Pavel Zacha for the majority of the regular season. There's no complaining from me. He's a really good young player, really nice foil to David Pastrnak and Pavel Zacha. He's fast, he's quick, he makes good plays on the puck. He's a really good guy to have on the team. And I really, you know, I really want him back next season. I think we can get him for $2 million a season. That's kind of what I projected as because, again, he didn't have an unbelievable season. He only had 35 points, right? He's not going to be asking for a ridiculous amount of money. At the same time, I do think that he can offer a lot to this team. And it's always good to have depth. I mean, even if he's a guy who we stick on the third or fourth line, whatever. He's going to be performing. He's going to be playing well. I really like what Danton Heinen has to offer. I think we should bring him back next season. Again, he's 28 years old. He's again, fairly young. If we can get him on like a 2x3, $2 million for 3C, I think that would be perfect. He has so much potential. Absolutely love what he has to offer. All right. Next up, Hampus Lindholm. So, really interesting season from Lindholm. I know, do I think this season from him was as good as it was last year? No. I do still think he played very, very well. I think he has a lot of talent. I think he just needs to work on a couple things. He turns the puck over a little too much for my liking in the defensive zone. But he really is a good defenseman. He's your defenseman's defenseman. He had 3 goals. By the way, what a really important goal against the Toronto Maple Leafs. So he can't shoot the puck. But he's a defenseman's defenseman. He's going to make good passes. Again, I love what Lindholm offers to this team. I think he's a great player. He's under contract for a while, so he's not going anywhere. And I think at $6.5 million a year, I think that's a pretty fair value contract. Again, he didn't have 10 goals like he had last season. He had 3 goals. So his offensive numbers were down, which next season I would like to see them come back up. Maybe not to 53, which might have been a little bit outrageous, but I would like to see him between 35 and 40. I'd like to see him with 5 goals and 30 assists. I think that's more than reasonable for him. So a down year for Lindholm, but I still think he has a lot to offer to this Bruins team. I love what he brings. I love his physicality. I love his size. And I think his stick work is great. So I'm a big fan of Lindholm. Love to see him back. And then I'm just going to run through the next few players. Kevin Shattenkirk, not under contract. I would like to see us bring him back. I was having a debate with someone on Twitter about this last night. And we were going back and forth. And listen, is Kevin Shattenkirk necessary for the Bruins to bring back? No. But I do think he's a nice to have. Listen, the Bruins do have a lot of defensemen, all right? Right now, we have 6 defensemen under contract for next season. And you only need 6 defensemen. And that's not counting any of the young guys who will be brought up over the course of next season. But it is always good to have a deep defensive core. And I do believe that Kevin Shattenkirk with his offensive, because he's a very good offensive player. Very, very good offensive player. Moves the puck really well. Could be very useful in the power play. And in spots where, you know, listen, if Mason Lowry gets injured, or if Andrew Peak or whoever, Brandon Carlo goes down quite often. Be a great guy to have on this team. Big fan of Shaddy. And again, I think the number for him, probably between 1 and 2 million. I mean, he's not a young guy. Kevin Shattenkirk's been in the league for a very long time. He's 35 years old. He's not going to be making big money anywhere he goes. But he was very good for this team. I like what he offers a lot. And I hope that for the right number, we can bring him back. Again, not a necessity, but a nice to have. Matthew Potras. Again, he got injured, but had 5 goals, 10 assists. Most of that came early on. He did struggle midway through the season. But I'm a big fan of Patras. He's 20 years old. All right, he's going to be back for the start of next season. He's a little undersized, but if we stick him on that third line with Geeky and Frederick, I mean, that's going to be an unbelievable line. You have, I think, three guys who probably take faceoffs on that line. Whether you want it to be Geeky, whether you want it to be Patras, whether you want it to be Frederick, any of those guys can take faceoffs. They've all done it before. And they're all good. And they're all good in their own right. I think that Patras is probably the best offensive, most offensively talented. But you have those big physical guys around him. I think that's going to be perfect. Really excited to see what he can offer in a full season in a Bruins uniform next season. Jesper Boqvist. Really good season from Boqvist. I mean, came on in the kind of the middle of the season after Lucic had that. I'm just not going to talk about it. We got him from New Jersey, like Zaka, but this happened this past offseason. Fourth liner. Played really well. Had a big playoff goal. He's a really good player. He's really fast. He's not under contract, so I would like to see us bring him back. Again, my number is about $1 million. He is a restricted free agent. I don't know what the market is going to be like for him. I could see him moving, though, just because there's a lot of guys, and we can't re-sign everybody. So he's one who I could see us moving off from, like Jake DeBrusk. But I do think that he offers a lot to this team, and again, you need depth. Brandon Carlo, great season from Carlo. Again, stayed off the injured list for the majority of the season, which I like. Stayed off the injured list for the majority of the season, which I like. And I know I just said that. I just said it twice. I was reading a text. I like Brandon Carlo. He does make mistakes, but listen, he's the third best defenseman on the team. He's making $4 million a season. Great deal, great contract. Really like what he has to offer. Johnny Beecher, rookie, great season. Matt Grizzlick. You know, I think Beecher can offer a lot to this team. Great faceoff winner. Scored a playoff goal. He's a rookie. Johnny Beecher looks like, to me, he's 26 on the ice. He's 23 years old. He's a young guy. He was a first-round pick back in 2019. This was his first real season in the NHL. 52 games. There's a lot he can offer. He'll be here next season no matter what. Unless we trade him, of course. Matt Grizzlick, he's gone. Don't even need to talk about him. He's great in the regular season, but can't play in the playoffs. Mason Lowry, future, you know, he is such a good offensive defenseman. He has a great shot. He needs to work on his defensive game a little bit, but he's 23 years old. Love what Mason Lowry offers to this team. Unfortunately, we only have one more year on his contract, so we're going to be paying him a decent amount of money at the end of next season. I would expect between $3 and $4 million, unless he goes crazy. And I'll probably take a bridge deal, to be honest with you. I'll probably take 3x3, because he's probably going to want to get a new contract for a lot more money after that. Lauko, again, Lauko is an interesting one. He's such a physical player. I do believe he's under contract. The list I'm looking at does not even have him on it, unfortunately. He is under contract. I think he's under contract. He's a big physical guy, 24 years old, not offering you too much offensively, but, I mean, he's a Bruin hard and heart. He'd be great on the fourth line. Would love to have him. All right, who else do we have? Parker Wotherspoon, great young defenseman. Again, Parker Wotherspoon looks older than he is. He's 26 years old, but he was a rookie. No, he wasn't a rookie. Okay, this was his first season with the Bruins, but only his second season in the NHL. Feels like he's going to be a starting defenseman for the Bruins next season, along with Andrew Peak, who we traded for, who's under contract next season. Like Andrew Peak a lot. Love what he can offer for this team. Just some other guys. Pat Maroon, not under contract. I do think he really liked playing in Boston. Big physical guy. We'll see if he sticks around. He is an unrestricted free agent, so we'll see where he goes. I would not be opposed to him staying in Boston for the right number. Again, playing time is going to be tough to come by next season. And then finally, John Brazeau. Listen, rookie, unbelievable, young, strong, physical. He's going to be a great player. Played on the first line. He can do everything. So, Jim Montgomery got the rat, was the monkey, sorry. I was thinking the rat off his back because Brad Marchand did the celebration. We got the monkey off his back and Brad's known as the rat. So Jim Montgomery got a playoff series win. We almost choked it, but we didn't. I think he did a very good job coaching the season. Again, look at the talent. We have a couple of very talented players. But we had some guys go down with injury. We had a lot of young talent. And Jim got us 109 points into the second round. In a season where I think a lot of people said the Bruins might even miss the playoffs. We were not even close to that. Obviously, Jeremy Swayman's a must re-sign. He's going to get between $7 and $10 million. He's unbelievable. He had a great playoff run. He's unbelievable. So what do I think the Bruins should do going into next offseason? Okay, so first, I think, as a lot of people have been saying, we need a legit goal scorer. We need a guy who just is an offensive weapon. We need a guy like that. They're just... It's hard to win the playoffs if you don't have a guy like that. And we're kind of missing a guy, like a Sam Reinhart or a Braden Point. I'm just going to go to spot rack right now and see which NHL guys are free agents. Let me go to free agents. All right, this is definitely not the right list. Let's go to forwards. Oh, these are free agents, sorry. Brazo is a free agent? I didn't think he was. No, he's not. Okay, I don't understand that. He's not a free agent. Okay, I don't know what this list is. Obviously. All right. All available. So there are a good number of guys, right? Gensel, Reinhart, Adam Henrique, who's too old, by the way. Anthony Mantha, Tyler Bertuzzi, Teuvo Teravainen, Jason Zucker, right? Jakob Silverberg. Jonathan Marchessault, Vladimir Tarasenko, Elias Lindholm. Like, there are Alexander Wenberg, right? There are a lot of these guys, Tyler Toffoli. The list goes on. I can keep going. Who are really talented, who we need a great goal scorer. Again, I would not be opposed to, like, a Sam Reinhart coming here. I think he's unbelievable. We need a legit guy. So there are two ways we can get about that. Again, the first way we can get about it is by signing an unrestricted free agent. We have $22.5 million in cap. Let me say that again. $22.5 million in cap space. So the way I see it, okay, I'm gonna just list some numbers. $22.5 million in cap. Let's say we sign Swayman $10 million a season. I think that's the upper echelon, the highest it can go. I don't think we're going to sign Swayman for more than 10. 10's crazy. 10 is such a high number. I mean, I think only Bobrovsky makes more than that. And I just don't know if Swayman would want that much money. Let me see. Contracts. Let's go to goalies. Yeah, so Sergei Bobrovsky is making $10 million a season. That's the most by AAV. Obviously, Carey Price, but he's not playing right now. Or I think he's retired. Not 100% sure, but I'm 95% sure. All right, Connor Hellebuck's making 8.5. Ilya Sorokin's making 8.25. So, I mean, I could see $9 million as a realistic. I mean, listen, we're not going to re-sign Swayman for, I don't think, more than $10 million. It's just a ridiculous number, and I just don't think we will. I think there's a lot of realistic numbers. I get between 7 and 10 would make him the highest, fifth to first highest paid goalie in the league by AAV. All right. If we sign him for 10 flat, all right, he is the highest paid goaltender in the NHL. So I think that's the upper echelon. And I don't know if he's the type of guy who'd want that much money to take away from the rest of the team. But he deserves it, whatever it is. Okay, great. 10 million, so now we're down to 12.5. Let's say Danton Heinen signs for $2.5 million. Okay, now we're at 10, just to make it really easy. Then let's say we sign a couple other guys. Let's say we get Boqvist, Van Riemsdyk, Shattenkirk, all back for $4 million total. So now we're at $6 million, right? That's enough to sign a decent portion of those guys on that. So let's just go to forwards, all forwards, and I'm going to scroll down to $6 million AAV to get into the price range of the guys that we could get. All right. William Karlsson, Matthew Boldy, Valeri Nichushkin, Brad Marchand, obviously. Owen Tippett, Chris Kreider makes 6.5. Nikolai Ehlers makes 6. Joel Eriksson-Ek makes 5.5. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins makes 5.5. Vincent Trocheck makes 5.5. Jesperi Kotkaniemi makes 5. Josh Anderson makes 5.5. Zach Hyman makes 5.5. Okay, so many great guys. So that would mean that we could get any one of those guys or Jake DeBrusk. I don't know if Jake DeBrusk would ask for that much money, right? So we pretty much have the exact same team. But I think here's what I would propose, right? We let DeBrusk walk. And let's say, you know, so we let DeBrusk walk and we trade Ullmark. Ullmark is on $5 million. We're not going to be paying Swayman $10 million a season and Ullmark $5 million. It's just not going to happen. By the way, Ullmark's on $5 million. So he would be great for any team for a one-year stint and maybe to re-sign. And how many teams need a goaltender who's a former Vezina Trophy winner? Think about it. How many teams are so good and could use a great goaltender? Better than what they have, it would be, in my opinion, finals contenders. Colorado, Edmonton, Carolina. I mean, right at the top of the head, those three teams, desperate need of a goaltender. They're legit, and Ullmark is that guy. So, in return for Ullmark, either we could get a couple different things. We could either get a pick, and we'd have $10 million in cap. That sounds pretty good to me, right? A pick, probably a first-round pick, maybe a late first-round, but probably a first-round pick. We do need picks, and we'd freed up $5 million of cap. So now we're at $10 million of cap, can sign one really great guy and get another decent guy, get a guy for 7, get a guy for 3, right? Or we could sign a superstar for $9 million a season. There are so many things we could do. Also, what we could do is we could trade Ullmark and get a player in return. Maybe a legit player. Maybe not. Right? So there are a lot of different things we do. We have plenty of options. Again, most important, we need to get Swayman back. I think we do need to re-sign Heinen. Those are the musts for me. The rest of the guys, DeBrusk, Maroon, Van Riemsdyk, Shattenkirk, Forbert, all the rest of the guys, listen. Some of them might be back. Some of them might not be back. We'll see. Right? It's clear to me that we do need a legit goal scorer, though. And I think the best way for us to do that is by using Ullmark to either create cap space or get someone in a trade. Because imagine the lines that we could create if we had a legit goal scorer. Like maybe a guy who just scored 57 goals. Or 54, like a Sam Reinhart or Zach Hyman. we could get a guy like that or actually one of those guys. Because as I've said, if we look at free agents, and I'm going to get you to Sam Reinhart. Sam Reinhart, now, I don't know if we could get him for 6.5. He'd probably be asking for about 8. But I like Sam Reinhart. He's physical. He's a great goal scorer. I don't think he's going to put 57 with Boston. But if he could put up 30 or 40, perfect. Physical. He wins faceoffs. He's a tough guy. And he plays for the team that we need to figure out how to beat. And if we could get him for $8, we could get him for $8 million. And that would still leave us with plenty of cap space to sign anyone else we needed to with that $2 million extra. And that's assuming, by the way, that we signed Swayman for that $10 million. We signed Hyndai for $2.5 million. Those are kind of the high numbers on the echelon, right? But we could get a Sam Reinhart absolutely 100% and stick him at center, and you could just move guys around. You know, and we don't have to put Zaka at center anymore. He could be a great winger. And then what you could do is you could have Reinhart playing in between Pasternak and Zaka, or you put Reinhart, Pasternak, Marchand. And then that second line, you have Coyle, Zaka, Heinen, any combination of those guys, right? You could have Reinhart. I don't think Reinhart and Coyle could probably play in the same line. I will say that, right? But there are so many different ways you could put it. So my number one target for this offseason, Sam Reinhart, get him here, pay him $8 million a season, and just let's get it rolling. I love what the Bruins have open to them this season. Of course, not what we wanted this season, but so much potential going into next year. So proud of the team, and I just hope that next season we can be bigger, better, and make it to that promised land of winning the Stanley Cup. I believe in this team, love this team, and yeah. Everyone, thank you all for listening to another episode of The Master Plan. I hope you have a great day.